Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Jake. As always, we want to thank you for your incredible efforts, toil, and skill in arranging this wonderful session of learning every night, bringing us together in your very unique and talented way. And our great appreciation goes out to you as always. And also, we want to thank our sponsor, a sponsor who has dedicated tonight's shir, Lezeche Ul'ili Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. This week is the second week of the Gimel Di Paranusa. We all know that this time of the year, between Shiva Osa, the Talmud, and Tisha B'Av, there are 3 weeks called the Bein HaMetzarim. Kol Roitzeha, all of her enemies overtook her, Yitziguha Bein HaMetzarim, between the straits. And Chazal understand this to mean the endpoints, the straits, the two bookmarks, if we may borrow that term, are Shiva Osa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. There are 3 weeks, Parshas Pinchas, Matas Maaseh, in the year where the Parshas are connected, and Parshas Devarim. And this week we're right smack in the center. And there's something very relevant that always appears right in the middle of the Bein HaMetzarim Parshas Matos, where the two tribes, Reuven and Gad, approached Moshe Rabbeinu and told Moshe, "We're not interested. We're not interested in going into Eretz Yisrael. We are happy to remain here in the Ezer HaYarden, on the east side of the Yarden. We're not going to pass over to the west side of the Yarden, to the main portion of Eretz Yisrael. We have an abundance of sheep, cattle, and this is a land of pasture. We're happy to remain here." And as you could imagine, this is a very frightening statement, especially Bashkocha Pratis, this falls out in the Bein HaMetzarim, where we are reflecting over the chib of Eretz Yisrael, the love that we have for the land, and we reflect how the Meraglim sinned by accepting the slanderous report of Klal Yisrael sinned by accepting the slanderous report of the Meraglim and not showing their appreciation, their desire to go into the land that Hashem has promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Indeed, in history, there were Gedolei Yisrael that gave Musa to Klal Yisrael for not showing the chiba for the land when the opportunity was available for them to return. For example, Ezra very powerfully criticized Klal Yisrael for their lack of enthusiasm to return to Eretz Yisrael, the time of the Bayesheni. We have, during the time of 1,000 years later, we know in Varmiza was one of the Kehilas that suffered a horrific Chorban in the time of the First Crusade in 1096. And they were Gedolei Yisrael that no one could, in our generation, could never do something like this. We can go and explain, but we take note of a letter that was sent by the people of Armiza to the people of Yerushalayim after they were encouraged to return to Eretz Yisrael. And they said, you remain where you are in the big Yerushalayim, and we will remain in the little Yerushalayim. It's a very frightening statement. We know there's a sefer called the Tzror Hamor. He was I think in the 15th, 16th century, he quoted the Sma. The Sma who lived, I think, in the Kufa of Girs. No, I'm sorry, not the Sma. I don't recall the exact names of the Sfarim. Indeed, is the Sma that was very critical of the Jews of Spain. The Jews of Spain, they suffered a horrific, horrific experience. Girush Sefarad, 1492, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. 300,000 Jews left. Many of them died, suffered terrible tragedies. And there was a complaint. Why were the Jews of Spain so comfortable? Why did they build beautiful homes in Spain, feeling that this is their land, this is their country? No one could ever do something like that, can say something like that today. We don't know the reason for anything today, but these were very holy, great people, and they understood human nature, they understood the Torah, and they remind us that our home is in Eretz Yisrael. That's where we belong. What exactly was the sin of Reuven and Gad? What exactly was the issue? Reuven and Gad certainly understood that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the promise, the Havtocha, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they understood that the other 10 tribes would go into the land. They were just, you know, a few short distance away from the land. What exactly was the problem here? So I want to make a suggestion, which is really based on a Ramban back in Parshas Shelach. There's a simple observation. Here in Parshas Matos, we find that B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, they come forward to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say to Moshe, they say that we see here, V'yikshu elav, V'yoymu, Gidrois tzoyin nivne l'miknenu, Po v'yarim l'tapenu. Let us build pens for our sheep here in this location, and cities for our children, and I made an error. We have to go back a few psukim. Where B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, they come to Moshe, and the words are, "Vayovov B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, Vayemru el Moshe, V'elozer v'akoyim v'lziyoy v'lemar, V'motzanu chen b'einecha, if it's pleasing in your eyes, Yutan, may it be given as ha'oretz hazois, this land, la'avodecha la'achuza, as a possession, al ta'avireinu es ha'yardein. Do not force us to cross over the yardein." To make a long story short, I want to prove this in one moment very quickly. They had calculation. They knew what they were doing. However, they added four words that were not necessary. They said, "Al ta'avireinu es hayardein." We do not want to pass over the Yarden and enter. This is the core, this is the critical words for which Moshe Rabbeinu exploded, chastised them, delivered a long tirade in response for their refusal to enter. All they needed to say was, if we find favor in your eyes, Yutan, may it be given es ha'oretz hazois La'avodecha, this land on the east side of the Yarden, la'achuza, as a possession, as a inheritance, as a place where we can settle. Period. Stop right there. There was no need for them to add the words, Al ta'azirenu es ha'yardein. We do not want that you should tell us, enforce us, encourage us to cross over the Yarden. It's self-implied. If we're going to take possession for ourselves, for our family, here, so of course we're not going to cross over the Yarden and take possession with everyone else. Why did they have to add those words? Those words are painful. And indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu, he responds to them, what you're doing is exactly what your ancestors, your parents, the previous generation who died in the desert, what they did when the Meraglim were sent into Eretz Yisrael, they came back and they reported a slanderous report. And Moshe goes on to say, Vayoniu, they discouraged, enslaved the heart, Bnei Yisrael, Levilti, both, also not to want to enter El Aretz Asher Nosan Hashem Lahem. Let's go back to Parsha Shlach. Let me bring out a Ramban. Ramban pretty much explains this idea. The Meraglim were sent to spy on the land. The Meraglim come back and they start telling Klal Yisrael what they saw in Eretz Yisrael. And they say the following. The land is beautiful. The gam zavas chalavadvash, he is a period. The land flows with milk and honey. And here is a sample. Efes, but ki asa'am, the people who live in the land are very mighty. Hayashel Aretz, and the mountains and the cities are fortified. And there are giants. Amalek lives in the land. And the Chiti, the Ayavusi, the Amori, they are in the mountains. The Kanani are is along the edge by the sea and by the Yarden. They didn't say anything wrong yet. What they said was not very pleasant. They presented a picture that was very bleak. The land, it's an uphill battle. They just mentioned all of the difficult parts, of the land which would appear to make it difficult to conquer. But the main point is, they did not give advice. They did not tell the people their own personal opinion, what we should do. They did what they were supposed to do. It's problematic that they did not see things in a more optimistic, in a more positive view. Okay, that's a separate issue. But there was no crossing of the red line. Even though they presented a bleak view, a dark impression of the land, as long as they did not cross the red line and start giving advice to the people what they should and should not do. They were sent for reconnaissance. Come back, take the pictures, what did you see, present the information, and you're dismissed. You're not a decision maker. No one asks you to tell the people what to do. But the way they presented what they saw certainly swayed the people in such a way to reach a conclusion that it's not in our best interest to enter the land. Kolev and Yehoshua interjected, Vayas Kolev Esa'am El Moshe, Vayomer oloi nahale the irrational so ki yochol nuchala. They started presenting a different perspective. And when the Meraglim saw they were not getting what they wanted, they crossed the red line. And they said, V'anoshim asher olu imo omru, lo nuchal la'alois el ha'om. All of a sudden, they started offering their opinion. Who asked you? That's not your job. Your job is to report the facts. You want to focus on the negatives? Okay. We sent you. If that's what you want to come back and present, fine. Let the people make their own decision. Let them decide if the issues are beyond their power, their control. When they saw that Yeshua and Kolev were discounting the negatives and they were losing, then they came out of their holes. They got nasty. They didn't just try to subtly sway people to reach a conclusion. They openly, without any shame, said, Loi nuchal la'alois, we will not succeed. And this was the Churban. This is pretty much what the Ramban says here in Parashat Shalach. Reuven and God certainly had a calculation, had very good reason why they did not want to come into Eretz Yisrael. Just like all of us on this conference call, why aren't we now at this moment living in Eretz Yisrael? It's a good question. There must be an answer. Everyone obviously has a solid answer as to why we're not living in Eretz Yisrael. That's okay. If you have a reason why we have a reason, even if the answer is not such a good answer, that's fine. The only thing that we're held accountable for is not to say, Loi nucha, we can't. That's the Avera. If we don't have a good reason to go, okay. But the attitude shouldn't have to shalom be, we don't want to cross over. Al ta'avireinu es hayardein. Moshe, do not take us there. We refuse to go. Do not tell us to go. We can say, Moshe, we would prefer to be here. And at the right time will come. But to explicitly offer your opinion and make a declaration with such force and conviction, no, we will not enter that land. That's the Avera. And that's exactly what happened with the Meraglim. They tried subtly to sway the people, but when they saw it wasn't working, they went way too far by giving them their personal opinion. And that's an Avera. Interesting that after this whole event, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them Musar. He then took one Shevet, Shevet Menashe, and he split the Shevet. He told half the Shevet, you have to be with the people, with Reuven and Gad on the other side of the Yarden. What's that all about? Why Menashe? Why was Menashe divided and half of Menashe had to be on one side of the Yarden and the other half on the other side of the Yarden? Menashe wasn't part of the original plan. It's interesting that at the time of Mechilas Yosef, when the brothers went down to buy grain, and they encountered Yosef himself, we always learn about this mysterious person. He's called at one place the Melitz. He's then called the Ish. He's called the person Asher Al Beiso. And he's always the intermediary between Yosef and the brothers. But there's one very noble quality that this intermediary has. He always faithfully stays out of the politics. Yosef is having a conversation with his brothers in disguise. and he has a person in the middle. The person in the middle never, ever offers his opinion, his advice. He does the bidding. He's a buffer. He has a mission. His mission is to be in the middle, not to take sides and sway what is the narrative in one direction or the other. Menashe has that talent. That is the remedy for Reuven and Gad. Reuven and Gad, you have a need to be in this part of the land, so be it. But don't step over your bounds and start offering opinions and saying, we are not going. Hashem told you to go to Eretz Yisrael. If there's a reason why you can't go at this moment in time, okay. But to explicitly stand up and state, Al tavirenu es hayarden, that's not necessary. Just like it was not the place for the Meraglim to say, Loi sucha la'alois. And the Ramban says that explicitly. It's not their place to say those words. You're just here for reconnaissance. And Moshe's making an equivalence between these two. The Musa Haskel Rabbi Yisai to learn from this is that many times in our lives, we're in situations where we're in the middle. And it's not our place to take an opinion. We may have an opinion. We're certainly entitled to have an opinion. It's healthy to have an opinion. But if that's not our role in a given situation, it's not for us to get involved. And likewise, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael during the Ben HaMetzarim, it's not our role to reject Eretz Yisrael Chas V'Shalom. If for whatever reason we can't, okay, so we have an excuse, we have a reason, it may not be a good reason, but to express with such opinion, conviction, no, it's the wrong thing to do. Chas V'Shalom. For whatever reason, we can't do it at this time. But this is the beauty, this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and Yirtzeh Hashem, we will all go to Eretz Yisrael very soon. We have to show our chiba, our dedication, our devotion, our support, both with our words, our emotion, our money for Eretz Yisrael. And when the time comes, we will join you. We will be there with you to rejoice in your blessing. Witness the coming of Mashiach b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much. Have a good night.